ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹாம். ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவ சமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹாம். பிரம்மசூத்ராஸ் சாப்டர் 3 பாதா 4. புருஷார்த்தாதிகரணம். புருஷார்த்தா அத்தஹா சப்தாதிதி பாதராயணஹாம் சேஷத்வாத் புருஷார்த்தவாதா யதா அன்யேஷு இதி ஜைமினிஹி ஆச்சாரதர்ஷனாத் தஸ்ருதேஹே சமன்வாரம்பணாத் தத்வதோ விதானாத் நியமாச்ச அதிக உபதேசாத்து பாதராயணஸ்ய ஏவம் தத்தர்ஷனாத் துல்லியம் து தர்ஷனம் அசார்வத்ரிகீம் விபாகஹ சதவத் அத்யயனமாத்ரவதஹ ந அவிசேஷாத் ஸ்துதயே அனுமதிர்வா காமகாரேண ச ஏகே உபமர்தஞ்ச ஊர்த்வரேதஹ சுச சப்தேஹி. பராமர்ஷாதிகரணம். பராமர்ஷம் ஜைமினிஹி அச்சோதனா ச அபவததிஹி அனுஷ்டேயம் பாதராயணஹ சாம்யஸ்ருதேஹே விதிர்வாதாரணவத். வி வர் டிஸ்கஸிங் தி 20th சூத்ரா விதிர்வா தாரணவத் ஆஃப் தி செகண்ட் அதிகரணம் ஆஃப் தி 4th பாதா. திஸ் இஸ் கால்டு பராமர்ஷ அதிகரணம். அண்ட் தி ஆர்குமெண்ட் தட் கமன்ஸ்ட் இன் சூத்ரா 19. சூத்ரா 19, இஃப் யூ ரிமெம்பர், இட் இஸ் அனுஷ்டேயம் பாதராயணா சாமியஸ்ருதேஹே. தட் இஸ் த சூத்ரா. அண்ட் that is to refute the objection raised in sutra 18, the argument that comes there to refute sutra 18, that is going to be continued here. Sutra 18 was paramarsham jaiminihi achodana cha apavadatihi. This is the purva mimamsa purva pakshi jaimini, and the refutation is continued here. The discussion is whether Veda accepts aneka ashrama or accepts only one ashrama. That is, only one ashrama is grahastha ashrama here. Aneka ashrama includes all the 4 ashramas, brahmachari ashrama and all that. And the purva mimamsaka, he claims there is only one ashrama, and that is grahastha ashrama alone. And Vyasacharya establishes that aneka ashramas are accepted by Vedas, and in support of this he gives Chapter 2, 23rd section, 1st mantra of Chandogya Upanishad. And we have been analyzing that mantra. And the mantra reads, Trayo dharmas khandaha yajnaha adhyayanam danam iti pratamaha tapayeva dvitiyaha brahmacharya acharya kulavasi tritiyaha atyantam atmanam acharya kule avasadayan. சர்வயேதே புண்ணியலோகாஹ பவந்தி பிரம்மசகும்ஸ்தஹா அமிர்தத்வம் ஏதி. ஸோ தி மந்த்ரா ரீட்ஸ், ஆஸ் தர் ஆர் 3 பிரான்ச்சஸ் ஆஃப் டியூட்டி, நேம்லி யஜ்ஞ அத்தியனம், யஜ்ஞா இஸ் சாக்ரிஃபைஸ், அத்தியனம் இஸ் ஸ்டடி, அண்ட் தானம் இஸ் சேரிட்டி ஆம்ஸ். ஆஸ்டிரிட்டி இஸ் ஆக்சுவலி தட் இஸ் இன் த ஃபர்ஸ்ட் ஒன். யஜ்ஞ ஆர் ஃபர்ஸ்ட் ஆஸ்டிரிட்டி ஆம்ஸ். அண்ட் த செகண்ட் இஸ் திஸ் இஸ் த ஃபர்ஸ்ட் ஒன், பிரதமஹா தப, அண்ட் தென் தப ஏவ, அண்ட் த்விதீயஹா with the second pursuit is of sacred wisdom, is dwelling in the Gurukula. And the third one is Tritiyaha Atyantam Atmanam Acharya Kule Avasadayana. That is supposed to be the third one. Charity in the is the third. So all these attain to the words of the virtuous people. Punya Lokas Dege. He who stands firm in Brahman, he attains the eternal life of moksha. And the Purva Mimamsaka says, in Skandha Shruti of Chandogya, 3 ashramas are only mentioned, but not said, they are only mentioned and not said as a vidhi vakya. Siddhanti contends, even though there is no vidhi in this context, but there is vidhi in another place, Jabala Upanishad, that we saw in the last class. Brahmacharyam parisamapya grihi bhaveta, grihi bhutva vani bhaveta. வனி பூத்வா பிரவ்ரஜேத் எதி வேதரதா பிரம்மச்சரியாதேவ பிரவ்ரஜேத் கிருஹாத்வா வனாத்வா. So that is this mantra we read in the last class, that Aneka Ashrama of Jabala Upanishad is mentioned in this Kanda Shruti. That is what he claims. So Brahmacharya Ashrama is given, Krayastha Ashrama is there, and Vanaprastha Ashrama is there. So this was said in the first two sutras of this Adhikaranam. And here Vyasacharya says, we can take this itself as Vidhi Vakyam for Aneka Ashrama. Conversion of Avidhi Vakyam, opposite of Vidhi Vakyam, into Vidhi Vakyam is accepted method in Purva Mimamsa itself. We saw an example in the last class with a condition if the teaching is new and is a useful teaching. So that is called Apurvatva. In Skanda Shruti, Chandogya Upanishad, the main Vidivakyam is what? Brahma Sagamstaha Amrutatvam Eti. Whoever is Brahmanishtaha, he attains liberation. And whoever is interested in liberation must become a Brahmanishta. The other ashramas also will become additional Vidhi because it is a new information. Because according to Purva Mimamsa, there is only one ashrama. Here the other ashramas are also mentioned, so they also will become additional vidhi according to Vyasacharya. Therefore, Brahmanishta vidhi is Mukhya vidhi. And he gave the example of holding a samit above and below the ladle, we saw in the last class. Holding above is Mukhya vidhi, and during Deva Karma, it is a vidhi. At the time when we do all the Deva Yajnas and all, it is a vidhi. Although it is a Paramarshavakyam, so it's only for reference it is given. This we saw in the last class. Now we will come to the word analysis of this sutra. The sutra is Vidhirva Dharanavate. This is the 20th sutra, 4th Pada, 3rd chapter, 445th running Brahma Sutra. Va means all. Vidhi, this Chandogya Upanishad itself is the injunction for other ashramas. That is what is pointed out here. Dharanavate. Dharanavate means like the Dharana Vidhi. Now, that means the one that you do Dharana. So, significance, let us see the significance of the words. Va means Atava. Atava means alternatively, to give the second interpretation. The first interpretation is based on acceptance of Jabala Shruti, that we saw, which gives Aneka Ashrama. And if it is accepted, Aneka Ashrama Vidhi will be taken from Jabala Upanishad, even though it is not explicitly stated in Chandogya. In Chandogya, it will be taken as Anuvadaha, and this is the statement in Chandogya Upanishad. And in the second interpretation, Aneka Ashrama Vidhi, that is given. Next is Vidhihi in Chandogya Upanishad Vakyam. Aneka Ashrama refers to Brahmacharya Ashrama and Vanaprastha Ashrama, which are referred to as Dharmaskandas in Chandogya. It should be taken as Vidhi in the second interpretation, both of them. So Dharanavidhi means like the Dharana Vakyam or Vidhi occurring in Karmakanda. In Karmakanda, many Dharana Vakyas are there, you adopt them. Therefore, the conclusion is what? It is not Eka Ashrama, only one Ashrama, or that is Grahastha Ashrama. It is Aneka Ashrama, which Vedas have accepted. This is Siddhantin's view. We have to extend this discussion a little bit more. Now the Purva Mimamsaka, he comes and he argues further. And he says, we are willing to accept Skanda Shruti. It is Pramana Vakyam for Aneka Ashrama. Okay. And even after accepting Aneka Ashrama, you cannot prove the existence of Sannyasa Ashrama. He is against Sannyasis. It is so because Skanda Shruti talks about three ashramas only for practice of Vedic discipline, namely Brahmacharya Ashrama, Grahastha Ashrama, and Vanaprastha Ashrama. And after mentioning the three ashramas, Veda itself enumerates the three as Brahmacharya Ashrama, Grahastha Ashrama, and Vanaprastha Ashrama. In fact, you have introduced the Adhikaranam for establishing Sannyasa Ashrama. That is what he is trying to tell. There was no such Sannyasa Ashrama at all. You now introduce this Adhikaranam for establishing the Sannyasa Ashrama, he tells Vyasacharya. So this Adhikaranam ultimately proves a thing you want to prove. So you have an agenda. So there is no Pramanam for Sannyasa Ashrama at all. So with the Chandogya Shruti, how do you prove Sannyasa Ashrama is his question. And Shankaracharya says, it is there in the Skanda Shruti itself. Don't go anywhere. In Chandogya Shruti itself, it is there. He tries to establish Sannyasa Ashrama through Skanda Shruti itself. This is our discussion now. This is a struggle for us since in Skanda Shruti, only three ashramas are mentioned, as we said, with no mention of Sannyasa Ashram. It is implicitly mentioned though in Skanda Shruti, and Shankaracharya says, read the Shruti once again. And there in the first part of the mantra, the three ashramas are mentioned. And then it is mentioned, sarve ete, all the people belonging to the three ashramas, who are, that is Brahmacharya ashramis, Grahastha ashramis, Vanaprastha ashramis, will attain Punya lokas. They will attain Punya loka. It is not moksha. Then the Shruti says, Brahma samstaha. And the Brahma Samstha will attain moksha. So all the other three will go to Punya Loka, Swarga Loka, these. Whereas this Brahma Samstha, he will attain moksha purushartha. Now Shankaracharya says, three ashramis will get Punya Loka, Anitya Pala, which is Anitya Pala. Punya Lokas are only Anitya Pala. Abrahma Bhuvana Lokatem, to Punaravartin Arjuna. That is what Krishna said. Even if you go up to Brahma Loka, your goddess will come back. And Brahma Samstha Purushaha will attain moksha. So will Brahma Samstha be different from the first three or not? This is our question. Brahma Samstha is segregated from previous three. Therefore, Shankaracharya argues the fourth one must be other than the three ashramas. Therefore, Skanda Shruti says, Sannyasi attains liberation. This is Pramanam for Sannyasa Ashram, as Shankaracharya gives. And the Purvapakshi, now he argues, I am not satisfied with that. Upanishad does not say fourth ashrama. It only says Brahmanishta, Brahma Samstaha only, it says, will gain liberation. That's all, it's a statement. It says Brahma Samstaha will get liberation. Hence, he gives another interpretation. He does not accept Shankara's interpretation. He argues, we don't require the fourth ashrama at all. The first three ashramis, who are not Brahmanishtas, they will not gain moksha loka, they will get punya lokas. So the first three ashramis themselves could be Brahmanishtas. If they gain moksha, then they have been Brahmanishtas, otherwise they will get punya lokas. So Ajnani Brahmacharya ashrami, Ajnani Grahastha ashrami, Ajnani Vanaprastha ashrami, they will not gain moksha, and Brahmanishta, but Brahmanishta Brahmachari, Brahmanishta Grahastha, Brahmanishta Vanaprasthi, they will gain moksha. I hope you are with me. So he now distinguishes between Jnani and Ajnani. So Vidhi is becoming Brahmanishta. That is what the Vidhi is. And you don't have to interpret that there is a fourth ashrama for that, according to Purva Mimamsaka. Father Shankaracharya gives two reasons. He says, the Upanishad does not say a Brahmanishta Grahastha Ashrami, etc. It doesn't say that. Upanishad only says Brahmacharya Ashrama, Grahastha Ashrama, Vanaprastha Ashrama, they gain Punya Loka. That's what it says. And the fourth one is introduced after the three, means what? It is the fourth ashrama. When it is introduced as the fourth one, as different from the separate from the other three, it is fourth. If Upanishad wants to differentiate Ajnani and Jnani, why should Upanishad talk of three ashramas? Because Ajnanis are there in all the ashramas. You should have talked generally. So any ashrami who is a jnani will not get moksha, but he will go to Punya Loka. He would have just said. So the enumeration of three ashramas indicates Brahmanishta means sannyasa only, sannyasa ashrama only. And the second argument is a bit disturbing argument for particularly grahasthas of today. Just of course, I will give Swamiji's comments on this later. And here, Shankaracharya, I have already mentioned many times, Shankaracharya always is interested in sannyasa ashrama. Shankaracharya argues, Brahmanishtaha can be only a sannyasi. He says that because a sannyasi only can become Brahmanishtaha according to him. This Shankaracharya often argues in several places. His argument in support of this is what? Vedanta Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam, which is the committed pursuit of Brahman, is the primary duty of a sannyasi alone. Sannyasi does not have any other duty. Only duty for a sannyasi is what? To do Vedanta Shravana Manana Nididhyasana. This is how it is designed in Vedic teaching. Sannyasa ashrama, this is how it is designed. But in all other ashramas, pursuit of Brahman or pursuit of Sravana Manana Nididhyasanam is not mentioned as a duty at all. whether it is brahmacharya ashrama, grihastha ashrama, vanaprastha ashrama, this is not mentioned as a duty. It is not a duty for brahmacharya ashrama and all that. And it is not prohibited. It's not a duty. They can do if they want, but it is not enjoined as a duty. They may or may not do it. If he does not do it, he does not shirk any duty, because this is not a duty for him. He does not shirk any duty, and he need not regret, and he will not have pratyavaya papa also. Because if you are not doing a vihita karma, it will lead to pratyavaya dosha. He won't have anything because this is not a duty for him. And this is the first point. And the second point is, for all other ashramis, there are innumerable non-Vedantic duties, both secular duties as well as sacred duties, for all the other ashramis, whether it is Brahmacharya ashrama, Grihastha ashrama, Vanaprastha ashrama, they have to do them compulsorily. It is duty. Non-performance of these duties will involve negative consequences, pratyavayas. Both Shastriya papam he will get, and also Laukika papam also, negative consequences also will be there for non-adherence to perform these duties. So in other three ashramas, when there is choice between a duty and a non-duty, which one is to be given priority? When there is we are not talking sannyasa ashrama. In the case of Brahmacharya ashrama, Grihastha ashrama, and Vanaprastha ashrama, if a person is given a choice between a duty and non-duty, which one is to be given priority? A conscious person will take to his duty only, and not sannyasi's duty. He will take to his own duty. There are innumerable non-Vedantic duties for him. For example, Tuesday Brahma Sutra class does not bind you. It's not a duty for Grihasthas. The other ashramis have to compare between non-Vedantic and other pursuits, and they have to give priority to non-Vedantic duties only. It is to be given preference to avoid papam, pratyavaya, because this duty violated. Because it is taken as non-Vedantic duty, they are to be given prime time slot, the other three ashramis. Vedantic pursuit will have to take spare time slot only, because it is not enjoined as a duty for them. In your spare time only, you can be attending Brahma Sutra classes. In that spare time, when the mind is not preoccupied with normal duties, one may take to Vedantic studies. After coming to Vedantic study, one should not be thinking about all the stock markets and all. Vedanta in other ashramas can occupy a time when there is spare time and unpreoccupied time. Hence it is argued, Vedanta cannot be a commitment for these three ashramas. It can be non-committed pursuit, nothing wrong. It is called anushtanam, and committed pursuit is called nishta. Between anushtanam and nishta, this is the difference. Nishta is committed pursuit. Anushtanam is a non-committed pursuit. Therefore, Shankaracharya heavily gives a loaded meaning for the word nishta here. To get prime time slot, one should become a sannyasi. So if you want to have spare time slot, you can be in all the other three, because this is not an enjoined duty for the three ashramas. But for sannyasi, this being a compulsory duty, sannyasi should be able to give prime time slot to this. This is Shankaracharya's conclusion. Hence, Chandogya Upanishad does not talk about the fourth ashrama, namely sannyasa ashrama, through the word Brahma Samstaha. So sannyasa has not household, family, or social duties. Even cooking is not his duty. Shravana Manana Nididhyasana only is his duty. Any dress or food is all given to him by people. Therefore, Shankaracharya says everyone should take to sannyasa if a person has to become Brahmanishta. Now let us see what Swamiji's comment on this is. Because we want to know that, because Shankaracharya gives from one angle, but we have to see from practical angle of today. When Shankaracharya talked about sannyasa, his concept was based on a social condition and lifestyle of people in those days, Shankara's days. It meant every grihastha spends 90% of his time in performing Vedic duties involving rituals. Three ashramas, three varnas, they all had Vedic rituals. They all were doing so much of time in committing to Vedic rituals. Now, none of them does the Vedic rituals at all in detail according to the norms. as the Shastra says, nobody does according to the norms. Formal sannyasa, ritualistic sannyasa is for giving up of the Vedic rituals. And in those days, Vedic rituals occupied prime time. And therefore, it was required. That is why sannyasa involved removal of even the sacred thread. No more Vedic rituals afterwards. No more Agni. Take, normally, you know, in Tamil, they say kudumi. Kudumi is stuffed. So take the kudumi means what? Sannyasa, shed your status of kudumbi. Kudumbi, you shed that. So by removing the kudumi, you shed the status of kudumbi. Now, when no one performs Vedic rituals today, what is the meaning of the formal renunciation of any rituals at all? So now Shankaracharya says, sannyasa has no relevance at all today. What is to be done for giving up of worldly activities? For giving up of this, formal sannyasa is not at all required today. There are many non-sannyasis who have given up or reduced worldly activities. Also, in fact, there are so many formal sannyasis who have not left the worldly activities also. Now they act for society, Loka Sangraha and all that. They establish ashramas, they do so many social activities, dharmic activities, compassional activities. Formal sannyasa has no connection with laukika karma. We don't require formal sannyasa for giving up laukika karmas, laukika sannyasa. We don't require formal sannyasa for giving up vaidya karmas also. One, you understand the spirit behind the sannyasa, which has got actually three factors. What is the spirit behind sannyasa ashrama? The factors are sannyasa represents sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, especially detachment from everyone, especially the close people around. One should be able to detach from everything. It represents sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. And the second one is, with the spirit of sannyasa, I can give primary time and top priority to Vedanta. This is sannyasa in spirit. Krishna calls them grihastha sannyasis. Sannyasi in spirit. I can give prime time and top priority to Vedanta. And the third condition is, can I enjoy unpreoccupied mind during Shravana Manana Nididhyasana? Will my mind be available 100% for this pursuit, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasana? If a person can fulfill these conditions, there is no need for a formal sannyasa ashram. As a grahastha, I should ask this question. I assume that you enjoy an unpreoccupied mind or you are as good as sannyasi during the classes. That's what Swamiji makes some jocular remarks. So if you have unpreoccupied mind, you give top priority and you have sadhana chitta sampatti, you are as good as a sannyasi. Previously, it was in letter and spirit. Now it is not in letter, but it is in spirit only these days. It is so because Vaidik karmas have almost gone. Not many people are performing them anymore. If you do such Vedic rituals, you cannot attend these classes because the rituals are so stringent. Every day, evening, you have so much. Morning upasanam, evening upasanam. So many things are there for grahasthas. So one cannot engage in such kind of vicharas easily. So Shankaracharya says, sannyasa is a must, both in letter and spirit. Whereas now we have modified this. In spirit, it is enough. The letter is not compulsory. That is how Swamiji interprets. So before we go to the next adhikaranam, let us give a quick overview of this adhikarana and of this pada. In the first adhikaranam of this fourth pada, it was a big adhikarana with so many sutras. Vyasacharya established Atmajnanam as an independent means of liberation. And in the second adhikaranam, he established sannyasa as a means of liberation. And in the second adhikaranam, he refuted ekashramavada of Purva Pakshi Purva Mimamsaka and established anekashramavada. And we have direct pramanam in the form of Jabala Shruti, Jabala Upanishad Vakyam, which we already read. The fourth mantra of Jabala Upanishad read as Brahmacharyam Parisamapya Grihi Bhavet, Grihi Bhutva Vani Bhavet, Vani Bhutva Pravrajet. So here the commandment verb is used. All four ashramas are specifically used. The meaning of the mantra reads as what? ஆஃப்டர் கம்ப்ளீட்டிங் த லைஃப் ஆஃப் அ ஸ்டூடெண்ட் பிரம்மச்சரியம் பரிசமாப்பிய லெட் ஒன் பிகம் அ ஹவுஸ் ஹோல்டர் கிரிஹி பவேத் லெட் ஒன் பிகம் மே ஒன் பிகம் இட்ஸ் நாட் லெட் ஒன் பிகம் கிரிஹி பவேத் கிரிஹி பூத்வா வனி பவேத் ஆஃப்டர் கம்ப்ளீட்டிங் த லைஃப் ஆஃப் அ ஹவுஸ் ஹோல்டர் லெட் ஒன் பிகம் ஏ ஃபாரஸ்ட் டுவெல்லர் வனி பூத் வனி பவேத் ஆஃப்டர் கம்ப்ளீட்டிங் த லைஃப் ஆஃப் அ ஃபாரஸ்ட் டுவெல்லர் லெட் ஒன் ரினவுன்ஸ் even from the state of a student or from the state of a householder or from that of a forest dweller. That's what's most important. Yadi vedarata brahmacharya devam pravrajetam grihadvam vanadva. One can renounce from any of these three ashramas also if he is qualified. And not only that, there is another vakyam also. It says atapunaha avrativa vrativa snatakova asnatakova உச்சன்னக்னிகோவா எது அகரேவ விரஜேத்து தத்து அகரேவ பிரவ்ரஜேத். The person need not necessarily go through all ashramas compulsorily. And he has other options also. If he has also the qualification. Qualification is what? Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti. One need not go through grahastha ashrama or vanaprastha ashrama also. From brahmacharya to sannyasa is directly allowed. Thus, we can go through all four or any two or three also. Combining all four is called Samuchaya Ashrama and combining any two is called Vikalpaka Ashrama. This is just something. Thus, there is direct support in Jabala Shruti, Jabala Upanishad. If he does not accept it, we have tougher option of taking Chandogya Upanishad Shloka. Here we have to comment and extract the Ashrama through a special interpretation. The second problem is sannyasa is not explicitly mentioned. As I mentioned in Chandogya Shruti, it is not explicitly mentioned. So we have to take Brahma Samstaha and take it as sannyasa ashrama. And the Purvapakshi, he had mentioned that sannyasa ashrama is only for handicapped people. I already mentioned this earlier. Who are unfit to do karma. These are all people who are unfit to do karma. So sannyasa ashrama is for those people. And for that also, Shankaracharya, he makes a comment. He says, Satcha Sannyasa is also said in the Shastra. You are not saying anything new. In the absence of wife, Anagnihi, Niragnihi, in the case of a widower who has lost his wife, he becomes disqualified to become Vedic ritual. Unmarried people also included in this category. For them, Sannyasa Ashrama is given as an option. There is another option apart from sannyasa also. If one wants to go through all four ashramas, but he does not have courage to enter the sannyasa ashrama. Person, he wants to go through the ashramas. Three he completed the essay, but he is not yet ready mentally to become a sannyasi. For such people, there is another option and you force that to the fag end of one's life. When the doctor has said, that he would not survive for long, read the Karna Mantras and all on his ears. I know cases like this. I'm not just joking. Once doctors have told a person will not survive for next hour or 2 hours. So they immediately went ahead and start doing all kinds of these rituals. But the person then lived for 5-6 years later. Anyway, so only a particular mantra, mantra ucharanam in the hospital bed is sufficient to take to sannyasa. Through the shortcut mantra sannyasa, he can take to sannyasa and that is called apat sannyasa, taken in the deathbed, last resort. So suppose he survives after this sannyasa, then there will be a problem. As I mentioned to you, Karna Mantra and all were read for this particular individual. Then he lived for another 5-6 years and he also went through his satabhishekam also at that time. I was witness to that. And that's not our problem though, of course. So in the next janma, he can take sannyasa in brahmacharya itself or he can attain krama mukti. They are all, which we don't know. So these are all mentioned in the shastras and Shankaracharya says, you should take it or conclude that all sannyasis are handicapped people. Whatever you want to do, it's your choice. So these are all mentioned in the fourth mantra of Jabala Shruti. Scripturally unqualified people for rituals or for sannyasa according to scripturally unqualified people for rituals or for sannyasa. That is some contention. And the fifth mantra of Jabala Shruti also gives some more details about the sannyasa ashrama itself. Atham parivrad vivarnavasa mundo parigraha shuchihi adrohi baikshanom brahmabhuyaya bhavati iti. यति अतुरहम अतुरहासात मनसा वाचा संन्यसेत मनसा वाचा संन्यसेत वन कैन रिनाउंस बाय मनसा वाचा एष पंथा ब्रह्मणा हा खानु वित्तस्तेन इति संन्यासी ब्रह्मविति इति एवं एवैष भगवन याज्ञवल्क्य सो दिस इज इन द ब्रह्मदास वाक्य सो एनीवे द व्हाट डस इट से द वांडरिंग एसेटिक एसेट द परिव्राट द वांडरिंग एसेटिक who puts on orange robes, he put all kinds of, you know, orange robes and all, shaven, mundan and all that, you know, he has done, who has non-possession, who is pure, who is no enmity, lives on alms, bhiksha, obtains the state of Brahman, if he is this, is deceased, he can renounce by mind and speech. This person can renounce by mind and speech. Manasa vacham sanyaset, he can. This is not to be done by one who is healthy. And this is a last resort, apadharma. For some such people. Such renouncer become the knower of Brahman. That's what it's all said. And he should pursue Vedanta Shravana Manama Niridhyasana. He attains Brahman Aikyam in this Janma itself if he goes through this entire thing. Therefore, Shankaracharya concludes, Sannyasa Ashrama is there as Jnana Anga. It is part of Jnana Marga. And actually people, we know a lot of people, Saint Tyagaraja himself took Sannyasa at the end of his life. And even the great Upasaka, Anantarama Dikshitar, also took sannyasa at the time of his death. Our people all say all kinds of things. They took apasannyasa. Now let us go to the third adhikarana. Stuti Matra Adhikarana. Stuti Matra Adhikarana, the third topic in the fourth pada. Yes. So Stuti Matram Upadhana Diti Chete Na Apurvatvat. Stuti Matram, Stuti, not Shruti. Stuti Matram Upadhanadi iti chete na apurvatvat. 21st Sutra, 4th Pada, 3rd Chapter, 446th Running Brahma Sutra. Let us first do a general analysis of this adhikaranam with two sutras. And here Vyasacharya analyzes the Chandogya Vakyam 1.1.3, 1st Chapter, 1st Section, 3rd Mantra. Sa esha rasanagum rasatamaha paramaha Paradhyaham Ashtamo Yad Udgitaha. That is the Rasanam Rasaha. Quintessence of all the essences is Paramaha, is the supreme, the highest. And Paradhyaha, that is the highest one to be attained. And it is the eighth one. That is Udgita. I'll tell what is the eighth and all. So this mantra talks about Omkara, Udgita, Omkara occurring in Samaveda. As I mentioned many times, the Omkara, Pranava occurring in Samaveda is called Udgita. In all other places is called Pranava. It is musical version of Omkara, the Udgita, which is technically known as Udgita, said in a high pitch. So Udgita is ultimate essence of the creation according to this mantra. And seven items are given here in the order of number one, starting with earth, then water, then plants, then human being, Manishya, and then speech, walk, and Rigveda and Samaveda. And finally, Udgita is the eight essences. And the eighth and the ultimate Sara is the essence, is called the Rasa Tamaha. Highest of all the rasas is Udgita. That is Pranava in Samaveda. So eighth and final Sara is called Udgita, which is said to be most sacred mantra, and it is sacred abode of Brahma. So what is the, so that is why it is taken as a symbol for invoking the Lord. And what is the controversy here? Whether we should take these virtues as simple glorification or should these virtues be put into any anushtana? All these glories or virtues are given. Are they to be taken just as glorification or to be somebody, we have to do anushtana, upasana and all that. Shruti artha, stuti artham means it is for simple glorification, stuti artham. We don't take the virtues for any type of anushtana, but just only to glorify. If it is anushtana artham, for the sake of anushtana, it will become a part of karma or upasana vidhi. It will become karma or upasana. And the Purupakshi says, all the gunas are for simple glorification only, all the 8 points, gunas that I just said. And you need not use it in anything. To convey this idea, Purupakshi quotes another example from Karmakanda. Karmakanda, there are a lot of mantras. Iyam eva juhuhu adityaha kurmaha swargo loka ahavaniyaha. This also we have read this mantra in some other context earlier. Juhu is the name of a wooden ladder for offering oblations. In yagas, to offer oblations, they use a wooden ladle. This is called juhu. Iyam means prithvi here. Iyam eva juhu. The mantra says the wooden ladle itself is earth here. And in Karmakanda, they analyze this and the Bhashyakara says it is meant to glorify the ladle. When you say the ladle itself is like earth, it is to glorify the ladle, not that ladle is earth. It is to glorify the ladle. And we look upon the earth very reverentially, and so also the ladle with which you do oblations. Thus the ladle is glorified. Then the mantra can be forgotten. After glorifying that, you can forget because there is no other implication for that mantra. You need not even chant the mantra afterwards. You glorified it and that's it. And the reason to glorify the ladle is because before the mantra comes, ladle is introduced as part of the ritual in the previous vidhi as karma angam. Because before a yajna or something is done, all the accessories are given as they are all part of the ritual, they are karma angam. So in the previous vidhi, when they wanted to talk about the karma angam, they have already mentioned. Therefore, it is glorified now. Therefore, the Purvamimamsaka, they have made a rule based on this observation because it is part of karma. Wherever karmangam is there, their virtue should be taken as simple stotram only. You just only glorify it. There is another karmanga gunavakyam also. It is ahavaniyaha, which means fire into which oblations are offered. That is ahavaniya agni. That ahavaniya agni is glorified as swargaloka. So the ladle is glorified as earth, prithvi, and the ahavaniya agni is glorified as swargaloka. So ahavaniya is also karmanga, part of the karma. Therefore, in ritualistic portion, it is taken as stuti vakyam, glorification sentences. And in Karmakanda, since we take karmanga bodhaka vakyam as stuti vakyam, we have to apply the same law in Chandogya Upanishad 1.1.3 also, that we just read, because it also relates to karmanga guna bodhaka vakyam. In Chandogya Upanishad, karmanga is udgita. Udgita, the Samaveda, Pranava, recitation is karmanga, part of the ritual. That refers to Omkara, and every mantra is karma angam, is part of the karma only, every mantra in Samaveda. So, rasa tamaha, paramaha, patadhyaha, paradhyaha, paradhyaha, all those things, they are virtues of karma angam, which is Udgita. These are all words which are all occurring in that mantra that I read. Rasa tamaha, the greatest rasa, essence, paramaha, supreme, and paradhyaha means the one, the highest to be attained. They are all virtues of karma angam, which is Udgita only. We have nothing to do with it. It is for glorification only. And here Vyasacharya gives the answer in this Adhikaranam in two sutras. Now let us do the general analysis of the Sutra 21. Here the first part is Purvapakshi Sutra. The answer is Na Apurvatvad. Now we will see the answer is, how the answer is given, we will see. Stuti Matram Upadana Aditi Chet Na Apurvatvad. That is the Sutra. Stuti matram upadanaditi chete na apurvatva. And Vyasacharya says, your argument is incorrect. If you have to take stuti as glorification of karmanga, and then in the proximity, there must be a karma vidivakyam. Because if you are saying you are glorifying something as part of the karmangam, then in the proximity, there should be something which should be a vidivakyam. You just don't glorify something in a karma. The only karmanga will, then only karmanga will be relevant. Then only it can be part of a karma. In the Purvamimamsaka example, as we quoted just now, their contention is perfectly all right as it occurs near the karma vidhi. The performance of the, what is the karma vidhi? Performance of this, whatever ritual it is. I don't appreciate glory of a, for example, if you are talking here in the Vedanta class, I am not going to glorify a mridangist here. This is a Vedanta class. We are talking about Vedantic occurrences, Vedantic tattvas. They are, that is what we are going to be glorifying. So that is applicable to the example. But in Chandogya, in 1.1.3, that mantra that we read, there is no karma vidhi at all. And therefore, it cannot be taken as a stuti vakyam, as a glorification sentence, as it is not connected with any ritual. ఇట్ ఈస్ ఉపాసన అనుష్ఠాన వాక్యం. ఉపాసన అనుష్ఠాన వాక్యం. ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇన్ దిస్ ఉపాసన అనుష్ఠానం ఆల్ దీస్ గుణాస్ హ్యావ్ టు బి యూస్డ్. దర్ఫోర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ స్తుతి వాక్యం, ఇట్ ఈస్ అనుష్ఠాన వాక్యం. బికాస్ వెన్ యూ వాంట్ టు డూ ఉపాసన, యూ నో ఆల్ ది గ్లోరిఫికేషన్స్ ఆఫ్ దట్ అండ్ ఆల్. ఇట్ ఈస్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది ఉపాసన, ఇట్ ఈస్ ఉపాసన అంగం. ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ జస్ట్ ఓన్లీ ఎ స్తుతి వాక్యం ఫర్ గ్లోరిఫికేషన్. దిస్ ఇస్ ది జనరల్ అనాలిసిస్. నౌ లెట్ అస్ సీ ద సిగ్నిఫికెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది వర్డ్స్. ఉపాదానాత్, ఉపాదానాత్ మీన్స్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్స్ రెఫరెన్స్ టు ఉద్గీత విచ్ ఇస్ కర్మాంగం. ఉద్గీత మీన్స్ సామవేద విచ్ ఇస్ కర్మాంగం, పాఠ కర్మ. ఇది చేజ్. ఇఫ్ దిస్ ఈస్ ది కంటెన్షన్, నా ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ సో. అపూర్వత్వాత్, వై? బికాస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ అ న్యూ ఇంజంక్షన్స్ ఆర్ అ న్యూ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్ ఆర్ అ న్యూ విధి వాక్యం. ఇట్ ఈస్ అ న్యూ విధి వాక్యం, ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ జస్ట్ అ క్లోరిఫికేషన్ వాక్యం. నౌ లెట్ అస్ సీ ద సిగ్నిఫికెన్స్. దిస్ వాట్ హూ సేస్, సిద్ధాంతి సేస్. నౌ లెట్ అస్ సీ ద సిగ్నిఫికెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది వర్డ్స్. స్తుతి మాత్రం, స్తుతి మాత్రం మీన్స్ మియర్ గ్లోరిఫికేషన్. సిగ్నిఫికెన్స్ ఆఫ్ మాత్రం ఈస్ పూర్వపక్షీస్ ఇంటెన్షన్ ఇస్ వాట్? ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ యూస్డ్ ఫార్ ఎనీ కర్మ అనుష్ఠానం, ఇట్ ఈస్ అర్థవాద ఓన్లీ, స్తుతి ఓన్లీ. అండ్ ద రీజన్ హీ గివ్స్ ఇస్ వాట్? ఉపాదానాత్. ఇట్ షుడ్ బి అండర్స్టూడ్ యాజ్ కర్మాంగ ఉపాదానాత్, ఉపాదానాత్ విచ్ మీన్స్ కర్మాంగ బోధ ఉద్గీత ఉపాదానాత్. దట్ ఇస్ వాట్ యు షుడ్ అండర్స్టాండ్. వెన్ హీ టేక్స్ దిస్ రీజన్ హీ రిమెంబర్స్ ఏ పూర్వమీమాంస న్యాయ. ఎత్ర ఎత్ర కర్మ గుణబోధక వాక్య వర్తతే ఇట్ ఈస్ స్తుతి ఓన్లీ. దర్ ఇస్ ఇట్ ఇస్ ఆల్ ఇన్ ద పూర్వమీమాంస, దర్ ఇస్ అ న్యాయ. వేర్ ఎవర్ దర్ ఇస్ కర్మ గుణబోధక వాక్యాస్ ఆర్ దేర్, ఇట్ ఈస్ స్తుతి ఓన్లీ, మియర్ గ్లోరిఫికేషన్ ఓన్లీ. దెన్ ఇది చేర్. ఇఫ్ దిస్ ఈస్ ద కంటెన్షన్, నా ఐ కెనాట్ అక్సెప్ట్ ఇట్ బికాస్ అపూర్వత్వాత్ ఇన్ దిస్ మంత్ర దర్ ఇస్ నో విధి వాక్యం ఇన్ ద ప్రాక్సిమిటీ అండ్ దర్ ఫోర్ ఇట్ షుడ్ బి టేకన్ యాజ్ అ న్యూ అనుష్ఠాన వాక్యం and is part of any other anushtanam. So we have put so many other arguments, whatever we said earlier, all those things apply. So it is not just only stuti vakya. And one more reinforcing statement is also given in the next sutra that we will read. Bhava shabdachya, bhava shabdachya, it is the 22nd sutra, 4th pada, 3rd chapter, 447th running brahma sutra. First let us do a general analysis of this sutra. Here Vyasacharya says there is clear indication in Chandogya Upanishad to show that it is not a part of any Vedic ritual, but it refers to independent upasana. So what is the mantra that we read? Chandogya Upanishad first chapter, first section, first mantra. Omiti etat aksharam udgitam upasita. That is the mantra. Omiti etat aksharam udgitam upasita. ఓమితిహి ఉద్గాయతి తస్య ఉపవ్యాఖ్యానం. దట్ ఈస్ ది ఫస్ట్ మంత్ర. దర్ ఈస్ వెరీ క్లియర్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్ దట్ ఉద్గీత ఉపాసన హ్యాస్ టు బి ప్రాక్టీస్డ్. ఉద్గీతం ఓమితి ఏతత్ అక్షరం ఉద్గీతం ఉపాసీత. ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ క్లియర్ ఉద్గీత మంత్ర ఈస్ నాట్ యూస్డ్ యాజ్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ రిచువల్. ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇండిపెండెంట్లీ టేక్ అన్ ఉపాసన. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ కర్మాంగం అట్ ఆల్. We cannot accept anything outside the field of a ritual. We can have swatantra upasana possible. I can practice omkara upasana without any ritual, just merely reciting om 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 all the time, as is evident in the above mantra. Upasita is vidhi, is a vidhi vakyam, upasita. Hence Vyasacharya says there is direct vidhi vakyam for udgita upasana. Omkara can be chanted independently as a mantra. Bhavaha. Bhavaha means vidhi. Then another question may come, which is also answered here. I take it Omkara is prescribed as part of Vedic ritual. For this we say that if it is so, then that ritual must be mentioned in the proximity. If Purupakshi says Omkara is prescribed as part of a ritual, then we say, if that is so, then the ritual must be mentioned in proximity. For what ritual? Otherwise, where it is to be taken as an anga of a karma? Since there is no proximate karma vidhi given, it is swatantra upasana only. Which is swatantra upasana? Udgita upasana, pranava upasana, omkara. And there is one more argument also. If anything is part of a ritual, then angam will not have a separate palam. If anything is part of a ritual, then the various accessories, the parts, they won't have a separate phala. The angi only will have phala. Angi is a karma. அங்கா வில் நாட் ஹேவ் பலம், தி ஆர்கன் வில் நாட் ஹேவ் பலம், கர்மா த ரிச்சுவல் அங்கி அலோன் வில் ஹேவ் பலம். ஸோ ஹியர் ஃபார் ஓங்கார உபாசனா செப்பரேட் பலம் இஸ் மென்ஷன்ட் இன் தி ஸ்கிரிப்சர்ஸ். This being so, it cannot be karmangam, but it should be a swatantra upasana only. And with respect to Chandogya 1.1.3, the third mantra, first section, first chapter of Chandogya, that we read, sa yesha rasanagam rasatamaha paramaha paradhyaha ashtamo yadudgitaha. So here Vyasacharya, he deals with Omkara mentioned in this Chandogya mantra. It is a swatantra omkara or it is karmanga omkara, that is the question. And the Purva Mimamsa wants to point out that omkara is karmanga omkara because it is a mantra, because every mantra is a angam of karma only. He will not leave. Omkara is taken here as a mantra and every mantra is part of a karma. Once he establishes it, then Chandogya Upanishad will become karmanga. The mantra here becomes karmanga. And this is the overall picture we should have. And the Purva Mimamsaka does not want Jnana Kanda to exist at all, independent, with the independent value of its own. He is not against Jnana Kanda. He says it doesn't have an independent existence of its own without karma. According to him, Jnana Kanda is worthless by itself. He wants to prove it is dependent on Karma Kanda. Whereas Advaitin wishes to establish Jnana Kanda and later he will negate Karma Kanda also. He says Advaitin establishes Jnana Kanda can exist independently and he even later negates Karma Kanda. Therefore, the Purva Mimamsaka wants Omkara as Karmanga. And Vyasacharya says it cannot be Karmangam as no ritual is talked about in the proximity of Omkara Upasana as is said in the first mantra of Chandogya. No ritual is talked about in the nearby sutras. There is karma vidhi in the first chapter of the Chandogya. Here he gives a second argument also. If Chandogya Upanishad itself is prescribed, it prescribes Omkara Upasana in the form of Omkara Upasana mantra, the positive support it is an Upasana vidhi and it exists as Swatantra Upasana. It is a positive vidhi because it's a Swatantra Upasana. Omkara Upasana can be done as a Swatantra Upasana. This is mentioned in the same mantra itself. The upasita, that particular word, is bhava shabdaha. It's a vidhi bodhaka vakyam. It is a vidhi vakyam. It is not karmangam. That is how this is proved. It's not a karmangam because the word used is upasita. And not only that, there is a vidhi, but not only there is a vidhi, but also there is another reason in the conjunction cha. There's a cha in the particular sutra. So because of the conjunction, there is also another implication is also given here. So the chakara that gives the implied reason. What? So if omkara or omkara upasana is karmangam, part of a karma, then angam will not have separate palam for itself that we mentioned already. Angam will always be part of an angi. If omkara or upasana is an angam of a big ritual, and omkara will not have any separate benefit, and the palam will be mentioned in the karma, in the ritual that is done, not in the case of omkara upasana itself. Where omkara upasana is talked about, separate palam is mentioned in the seventh mantra, first section, first chapter of Chandogya 1.1.7. separate palam is mentioned for omkara upasana, and the mantra says ஆபயிதாகவை காமானாம் பவதி ஏதது ஏவம் வித்வான் அக்ஷரம் உத்கீதம் உபாஸ்தே. The one knowing this meditates on the syllable as the உத்கீதா. ஓங்காரா's உத்கீதா becomes a fulfiller of all desires. காமானாம் பவதி ஆபயிதாகவை காமானாம் பவதி. Such a person. It is very clear that Omkara exists as a separate sadhana itself. It need not be part of any karma kanda. When Swatantra Saguna Upasana exists, what to talk of Swatantra Nirguna Jnana? When Swatantra Saguna Upasana itself can be Swatantra, what to talk of Swatantra Nirguna Jnana? Therefore, Saguna Upasana is independent of karma and Nirguna Jnana also is independent of karma. This is the general analysis of this sutra. Now let us give the word analysis. First, let us see the running meaning. Bhava shabda cha. Because of the usage of commandment of vidhi, bhava, also, bhava shabda cha. The Chandogya Vakyam 1.1.3 is what is kept in mind. It is not a mere glorification. And what is that mantra we read? Sayesha rasanagam rasatamaha paramaha paratyaha ashtamo yad udgitaha. Now let us see the significance of the words. Bhava shabdat. Shabdaha refers to vidhibodhaka vedavakya. So the vidhibodhaka vedavakya kept in mind here is the first mantra of first section of Chandogya, first chapter. That is omiti etat aksharam udgita upasita. Omiti hi uddhayati tasya upavyakhyana. That is the mantra. It clearly is said there, why should it be connected with karma kanda vidhi when it is available here itself? And the cha means also. Also indicates another reasoning, phala bodhakatva cha. It also gives the phala. It also mentions the phala. So it presents separate phala for omkara upasana. It exists independently and it need not join any karma kanda ritual. Phala is independent. And when we talk of this, the statement kept in mind is what? 1.1.7 of Chandogya that we just read. Because of this reason, Omkara is discussed here. And what is the conclusion regarding the 1.1.3 statement of Chandogya? Sayesha rasanagam rasatamaha paramaha paradhyaha ashtamo yad udgitaha. Our main discussion was not 1.1.7. Main discussion was 1.1.3 of Chandogya. What happens to that controversy? There various rituals or virtues are mentioned. The virtues of Udgita Omkara is mentioned in 1.1.3. That is a controversy. 1.1.3, you know, rasanagam, rasaha, rasatamaha, paramaha, paratyaha, all those. That is a controversy. The Purupakshi says, they are stuti matram only. All those gunas that you are saying, rasanagam, rasaha, rasatamaha, paramaha, paratyaha, they are all only stuti matram. Only for glorification, and they are not used for any anushtana at all. So in the light of our discussion, we say that the virtues are not merely meant for glorification, but to be practiced while doing swatantra omkara upasana. When I want to do omkara upasana independently, all these things can be practiced together. It is omkara upasana independently. And how it could be meditated? For which the glorification is given. In that mantra 1.1.3 that we just read. That vakyam is called Gunabodhaka Vakyam by Mimamsakas. Our use Gunabodhaka Vakyam, if it is Stuti Bodhaka Vakyam, it is not applied in any practice. And if it is Gunabodhaka Vakyam, it is applied in karmas. Here Guna word is used as part of the Anushtanam by Purva Mimamsakas. But we don't have to go into the details of this because then it becomes a Purva Mimamsa topic. We don't have to go into that. Just only to tell you that these things, they come in the arguments. And before coming back to the grand picture, Omkara Upasana is Saguna Vidya and our discussion is on Nirguna Vidya. Omkara Upasana is a Upasana, Saguna Vidya. And our discussion is on Nirguna Vidya. So what we want to add is, when Saguna Vidya stands independently, why cannot it stand independent in the case of Nirguna Vidya also? So that is what we have to just understand as I mentioned. With this, the 22nd sutra is also over. Now, the third adhikaranam is also over. Now, let us go to the fourth adhikaranam called Pariplavadhikaranam. Pariplavadhikaranam. Pariplavartha iti chet na viseshi tattvat. Pariplavartha iti chet na viseshi tattvat. 23rd sutra. This is the fourth pada, third chapter, 448 running Brahma Sutra. And the purpose of narration of stories in the Upanishad started in this sutra and in the next sutra. There are a lot of Upanishadic stories. The purpose of them, why they are said, that is said in this sutra and in the next sutra also. First, let us give a general analysis of this adhikarana. This is the fourth adhikarana with only two sutras. And in this adhikarana also, the Purva Mimamsa that comes with some argument so that he can connect all Upanishads into Karmakanda. That is all his aim. There is no separate Jnanakanda at all for him. So he applies another method. He wants Upanishad should not exist independently, but should be subservient to karma. Pariplavartha is a word commonly used in Karmakanda. It is derived from the root plava. Plava means flooding. In Purva Mimamsa, Pariplava has nothing to do with any flood or anything. It is the name of an action, which is part of an Ashwamedha Yajna, Ashwamedha Karma or Yaga. It is a Karmanga of that Yajna. And this is done only by Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas alone, the Ashwamedha Yajna is done. And while talking about it, Veda gives a commandment. Pariplavam ritual as part of Ashwamedha Karma. And what is that Ashwamedha Pariplava ritual? It is nothing but listening to stories. Pariplava ritual is only nothing but listening to stories. So, Yaga Virama type, at the time you would listen to stories, Puranas and all. And that Katha Shravanam is compulsorily to be done by those who do Ashwamedha Yajna. And what stories should they listen? The stories are the Vaidika Katha Shravana. Various stories said in the Vedas and Upanishads. And the stories occurring in the Upanishads also are Vaidika Kathas only. Vaidika Kathas should be listened as part of Ashwamedha Yaga. And all Vaidika Kathas are Karmanga, is their argument, Purva Mimamsaka's argument. And he says, once Upanishad Kathas becomes Karmanga, look at the way he comes. Once the Upanishad Kathas, the story said in Upanishads, have become Karmangam, part of the ritual, as an extension of that, following the teachings also must be Karmanga. So if you follow the teachings of Upanishads also, it is also becoming Karmanga. Vidya is part of that Katha, and hence Katha is Karmangam, so Vidya also is Karma. The ultimate message, Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi, also should be Karma. Therefore, Upanishad does not exist independently. That is his contention. This is the controversy. And we say, Upanishadic stories are Brahma Vidyangam only. They are part of Brahma Vidya only, Upanishad stories. This is the Adhikarana, essence of this Adhikarana. Now we'll see the meaning of the first sutra here. Pariplavartha means, it's a Purvapaksha portion it is. They say all Vaidika Katha stories are Ashwamedha Karmangam for Pariplava ritual stories. And the second part, Vyasacharya gives the answer. Second part of the sutra. Veda, in the case of Ashwamedha, instructs that the kings should listen to the stories occurring in Karmakanda. Therefore, Vaidika Katha is meant for Ashwamedha ritual. Because that is what he says. Vedas, what it says, the mantra Ashwamedha mantra says, kings should listen to the stories occurring in Karmakanda. So, Vaidika Kathas are meant for Ashwamedha ritual. So, why the Veda asks him to listen to the stories, that we do not know. There is no reason for that, we don't know at all. It is for the purpose that the kings do not go out of the Yagashala to keep them entertained. And for them not to engage themselves in other activities perhaps. This is meant for keeping the king engaged in the gap hours, that is the Virama time, between Yaga procedures. So this Vyasacharya accepts. And in the Prakaranam itself, it is said, what Katha should be listened to also. And the Kathas are, in the first day there will be some stories, in the second day you listen to something else. And first day you listen to, for example, Manu's story. Second day you listen to another king like Yamadharmaraja's story, who is the Swargaloka Adhipati and all that. So stories are Visheshita. When we look at the list of the stories, the Upanishadic stories are not included in the Ashwamedha Prakarana. All from the Karmakanda only. Stories occurring in the Upanishad, like Nachiketa stories, they are not included in that. And therefore, Upanishadic stories cannot be Pariplavartham. So hence it is not Ashwamedha Karmangam. It cannot be part of Ashwamedha Karma. Hence it is Nirguna Brahma Vidyangam only. That is what Vyasacharya concludes. This is the general analysis of the sutra. Now let us do the word analysis. Pariplavartha means the Upanishadic stories are meant for Pariplava ritual in the Ashwamedha rituals, that is telling stories. Iti chet, if this is the contention, nah, it is not so. Why? Visheshitatvat. Because of the stories of Pariplava rituals have been specified in the Veda itself. What story should be said? Now let us see the significance of the words. Pariplavartha, that is meant for the ritual. Pariplava is defined as Ashwamedha Karmangabhuta Vaidika Katha Shravana. Listening of stories as part of the Ashwamedha Yajna. Pariplava is listening to the Vedic stories as part of the Ashwamedha ritual. Then our answer is what? We don't agree with you. Why? Visheshitatvat. It is specified. It is not any story. It is specified from Karmakanda. You cannot listen to any story you like. You have to listen to specific Vaidika Kathas where the Upanishad stories are not included. So that is the argument that Vyasacharya gives. So don't say that the Upanishadic stories are karmangam and they have no separate relevance by themselves. That is how he argues. And there is one more sutra in this particular adhikaranam that we will see in the next class. Yo veda dau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakritilinasya parasamaheshwarah purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva avasishyate om shanti shanti shantihi shri gurubhyo namaha harihi om shri krishna arpanamastu.